All Eyes on Fishing with Josh Sheldon, Brad Qualley, and Mitch Peterson, leading you to the next level.
Back, everybody, to All Eyes on Fishing. We're glad to be back. Today we're going to talk about fishing shallow. So something that we've been doing a lot more this year. Been doing it a lot in the past, but this year we really tried to focus on it. So Mitch, you want to start us off on some of the things you're thinking about?
Well, I tell you what, I remember years ago watching In Fisherman and how Al Linder would always say how there's a lot of fish shallow and he always starts shallow and moves deeper. I think I in the past have been just kind of caught up in, I need to be out in this 14,
finding
20
those
foot,
points,
yeah,
and breaks.
The breaks and structure, but, and we've been focusing shallow more this year, and I'll tell you what, there's all kinds of structure shallow. It just may not be in depth change, but it could be patches of weeds, boulders, bottom content, all kinds of different structure, and sure enough, there are a lot more fish shallow than I think any of us realize.
Yeah, and I know that when we've been doing it, we've fished now three different lakes where we've been pitching quite a bit. Spent some time. I'm not talking like we just did it for an hour. I mean, we spent a day or 2 days doing it to really to make sure that the fish were there. And different lakes, I'm talking some of the water clarity was 6-7 feet, and some of it was 6-7 inches. So we were really focusing on that. So I mean, and it seemed to work.
Right. And I think it goes to the myth, like we've discussed before, that walleyes don't bite shallow and they don't cruise shallow and their eyes are too sensitive to light and all the other, things that you've heard ever since you were a little kid about walleyes and walleye fishing. I think fish, all fish in particular, walleyes and all the different types of bass, they're shallow, and that's where the active fish are, and that's where they're going to chase crayfish and minnows and whatever they have up there. Bugs. I think another overlooked part of that shallow bite are bug hatches. I think more times than I can count, you open up a walleye and it's full of mayflies. When we were in Michigan, there was a huge mayfly hatch, so much so that it would show up on the graph as if there were clouds of bait and they were really mayflies coming out.
Yeah, that was crazy.
And I think that gets overlooked. And a lot of that, again, shallow bite, shallow placement, shallow everything.
No, I totally agree with you. We've always, I guess not always, probably isn't the right word, always thought you need to go deep, right? But like I said, we've concentrated on this year and we've had a lot of success pitching shallow. So I want to talk a little bit about some of the things we've been pitching. I know you've been pitching some jerk baits, and we've been pitching a lot of jigs and grub tails and things like that. Now, the one thing I did notice though is that when you're targeting walleye in your typical traditional places, like let's say you're on a break or a shelf or a rocky point, you can really focus in on finding those fish out there. So I noticed when we're pitching shallower, we're picking up a lot of other kinds of fish too. So that tells me a couple things. If the walleye are in there, there's a reason that the bass are in there, that the crappie are in there, that even the carp
are drunk. Yeah, absolutely.
Because there's something in there that attracts all those fish, whether that's, like you said, whether it's bugs or bait fish or whatever, something that's giving them ambush spots. So I know that when we were catching fish just this last weekend, we did pretty good. We caught all kinds of species. Right. It was a lot harder to target specifically walleye because you got just a multitude of fish that work that shallow area.
Right.
But we caught several nice walleye, and we caught several of them like cast after cast.
Right.
So, and I'm talking shallow, like 1.5 to 3 feet.
Right.
We're sitting in 5 feet of water to 7 feet of water, pitching up to the shore.
Right. So look at it this way. Break it down into the things that's going to attract them, right? First and foremost, water temperature.
Yep. And when we were, okay, so let me get into that. This last week, we were at water temperature was 73.
Right.
We're talking a mid-June pattern where your water temperatures typically in most of the lakes around here is going to be that high 60s. This was just happened to be a little bit warmer, but it's 73 degrees. So what do we always think? Less oxygen in the water. The fish,
bottom bouncers.
The fish are going to move out
right.
just off the shallows and that 12, 14 foot bottom bouncers. And we catch a lot of fish doing
yeah.
it. No doubt about it. But I think our catch rate was better.
I think the size is better shallower. I think that the quality of fish is better for those shallow fish. I think the big ones are up cruising. And I think you might get into the numbers, right? You might get into the fish in that edge and the, you know, the break line or whatever. I think you might get those numbers as you're going through because there's definitely fish holding there as well. But I think your better, more aggressive fish have moved up. And I think they're up feeding. And I think you have a better shot at getting those better fish.
Well, yeah, you're right. And here's the thing. You talk about aggressive fish. You're right. Because when we were out in the deeper water, we marked fish and we were catching them like you normally would. Right. You know, I'm just talking like every 5-10 minutes you're hooking up, which is good.
Right.
When we moved in shallow, our catch rate prior to walleyes was probably about the same, maybe a little bit slower because we were picking up other fish.
Right.
But I'm telling you, aggressive is the key of what you said because right. we were working. At first, we were popping that jig back. We tried just a steady retrieve. But there was a lot of cabbage where we were fishing. So it was hard to do a steady retrieve because it was keeping that hook side or straight up in that jig, and it was right. catching on that cabbage. So then we started working it, just popping it. So where it'd start to hit cabbage, we'd pop it and go up over the cabbage and back down. We were picking up fish. Well, then we even switched to, I'm telling you, painfully slow, like dragging. We anchored just so our boat wouldn't move at all. We were dragging our jig on the bottom.
Yeah.
In a foot and a half, 2 feet of water, about as slow as you can pull mm-hmm. it back. I'm talking pull it back 6-7 inches, reel up once, let it sit, another 6-10 inches, let it sit, and it, yeah.
Right.
And they were picking it up. It was crazy.
Yeah. The thing that, you know, going back to the deep water versus shallow water, when, you know, when you're out deeper and you're looking on your sonar, you've got a bigger cone, so you get to cover more, you know, bottom.
There you go.
And you see more fish. When you get up in that, you know, 8 feet of water, like up on a shoreline or a flat even, that cone is so small that you don't mark hardly any fish, if any at all. And I think that's always kind of played into my mindset too of, you know, I might try shallow and cast a few times, and mm-hmm. if I don't get anything, boom, I'm gone.
Well, yeah, you want to see those fish?
Yeah, well, I might try another spot, but mm-hmm. then I'm going to go deep where I've got that confidence because I can see them on the sonar.
Yeah, but look at, all the clues are there. All the clues are there for us, and we ignore them because of myths, what we were taught, and stuff from our past. Think about this. Your most aggressive fish, your best bite when you're trolling cranks in open water. Fish are up within the first 10 feet of the water column. Actually, even better, they're up in the first five feet.
I was going to say 5 or 6 feet.
You might not even see them on a graph. You might catch them on a side scan if you're lucky, right? And you troll those cranks 10 feet behind a board. Size 5, size 7, stick baits, whatever. And they get lit up, right? Mm-hmm. Aggressive, nice fish. You know, and it can go all day, middle of the day, doesn't matter. That those are all the hints, those are all the clues for us to use that exact same thought pattern when we go pitch jigs. And for some reason,
well, I'll tell you,
the second we put on a weight, we're looking deeper.
Well, you know what? When you were saying that, I got to thinking about that a little bit, and I don't want this to sound like we're beating up deep either, because here's the problem with fishing shallow is you don't have a cone pattern. You don't know the fish are there. So we fished, oh, let's just say, I'm being very conservative here, but we probably fished 20, 25 different spots, found 5 active ones. Mm-hmm. Because we had no idea where the fish were there.
It's painful.
Painful, because we actually set the timer on our phone for 20 minutes a spot. Boom, 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 boom. That's what we did all day. And it was like, oh my God, they're not here. They're not here. And after 4 or 5 spots of that, you're like, oh, are we wasting our time?
Right. Is this going to work?
I know as soon as I move out to that 14, 25 feet, wherever I'm marking them on my graph,
right,
I can start catching fish. Yeah. But we stuck to our guns because we're like, we're really going to try to do this year. And it's been pretty successful for us. But what is that, 5 out of 25 spots we tried?
Right.
That well, were actively holding fish, and they did for 3 or 4 days.
Covering those 25 spots can take you all day.
It took us all day.
To where if you throw on a bottom bouncer and you start rolling at 1, 1, 5,
mm-hmm.
you're going to cover those 25 spots in an hour.
Easy.
And now you're going to go find 25 more. So mm-hmm. that's the draw, especially if you're in a competitive situation. The draw is go out there, cover water. The problem is A, I think those fish move. I think the shallow fish are up there more consistently. And B, I think those deeper fish shut down. I think they shut down and they become inactive. And when that happens, your pattern goes out the window.
But you think about this too, Mitch. You said it, you're pulling at 1.3, 1.5, let's say out of bottom bouncer with a spinner rig. You're going right. to be pulling around that 1.3. Even if you're having inactive fish, you're going to start picking up some active fish.
Well, yeah, I mean, you would think so, but like our latest experience, that didn't happen.
Yeah, you guys had the lake went up 30 feet in a week.
Right.
I mean, that's going to change stuff. So, but... So I'm not knocking deep and I'm not knocking shallow, but the thing I want to make sure that the listeners are taking this is, if you got the time, if you've only got a couple hours and you just want to go out fishing, you're probably, unless you know a lake really well, go ahead, pull your bouncers, pull your spinners, do whatever you're doing. But if you want to try to go for those bigger fish,
right,
you got to start pitching shallow. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
It is.
It's
it
pretty
really
cool.
Is.
Yeah.
It is. In the straight, and I don't know, maybe you guys have noticed this year. I've noticed it. My budget for bait is, we have not spent hardly anything on bait this year. I can't even tell. I mean,
once you load up on plastics and,
yeah.
you know, everybody's got a bunch of jigs already. You're good.
Yeah.
Because you can catch multiple fish on that jig before it gets torn up too much.
Now, one thing let's talk a little bit about how we're pitching them or what we're using. So we can even cover line in another podcast. But what we were doing, because we had, and this was crucial to us, because we fish in the cabbage. As soon as we get a fish on, those fish would go in the cabbage and mm-hmm. they were breaking off, getting hung up. So that's a problem. So what we were running is 10-4 fire line, the crystal, the 10-pound test, 4-pound diameter. And we tied on a 2-foot fluorocarbon P-line 6-pound lead to it mm-hmm. and then our jig, 2 to 3 feet, just for castability and just to get it away from that fire line. But we wanted the visibility to see the line move. So that 6-pound... Because that's what we do for a lot of live bait rigging. You know, when we're talking Lindy rigging or slip bob or whatever, any kind of live bait rig. Well, it didn't work very good for us because of that structure that Mitch was talking about. All that unseen structure you can't see down there. We were breaking off. And now jigs aren't that expensive, but it's a pain in the butt to tie them on. So we moved over to the 10-pound P-line because we had some of that. And same snell length, probably 2.5, 3 feet. Mm-hmm. And what did we break off, like 3 times the rest of 2 or 3 days?
It solved our problem. So we like to fish light line, but, you know, there's a limit to it.
Right, right.
You know, that's how you want to do it.
And that's interesting that you say that, because we went just the opposite. We fished like bass, right? Because we had, not only did we have that cabbage type viney weeds, we had heavy brush. And so we were fishing 14-pound fire line and no leaders, because we kept figuring out, or I did, especially throwing swim baits, that I was breaking off at the line where at the knot where mm-hmm. the 12-pound P line met the 14-pound fire line.
Yep.
It seemed like every time those fish got down in the brush, it was breaking off at that knot, and they were so aggressive, they were hitting it so hard that I just didn't think that the leader was necessary. So I did a direct tie and caught just as many, if not more, fish, and you horsed those fish up out of the weeds, out of the brush, the second they hit.
Yep.
And they're hitting it like a crankbait. I mean,
well,
they're
crushing. That was our third transition, too. So we started with 6. We moved to 10. And we even talked about, if this doesn't work, we're going to do a direct tie. For us, on the structure, on the grass that the cabbage we were fishing, it seemed to hold
it
up.
It was enough, yeah.
It was enough. But if we would have had brush, which we had very little brush, and we were pitching over by trees, so every once in a while we get hung up in timber. But that's a totally different story. I don't care what you have on if you're hung up in timber.
Right.
But so that worked for us. But I could see what you're saying. If you have brush, boy, that P line is going to get nicked up sooner or later. It's going to bust. And it's funny you say you broke off at the knot, because we did have, I think it was three failures with our 10 pound.
What did you?
And every one of them was at the, the direct tie.
And let's make sure people listening to this understand that when we say we're breaking off at the knot, I mean, I'm talking the P line is breaking off just a centimeter below the knot that it's tied to. And yes, we all know that you wet your line and that P line gets hot when it's pulled down and it can melt and all that other stuff. We understand that. I don't think that was the issue. I think the issue was just the fact that you were fishing this cover and this, you know, this type of structure that completely mold your equipment.
Well, and I tell you, and we won't keep much. We're almost done with this one today, and we have some more coming out, so we'll have you guys join us later. But on that note, is that I would say 70-80% of the fish, they barely picked it up, but it was completely engulfed.
Yeah.
When we got that fish in, it wasn't in its lip. No. It was, they hammered it up. They sucked it in.
Yeah. The eyelet was by its teeth.
Yeah. And that's, you know, it's funny you say that, because we saw the same thing. Now, our retrieve was the slow roll retrieve, or, you know, just like a crankbait, right? You throw it up in that foot, couple feet of water, and you do the retrieve above the brush. And the brush, if you're in 8 feet of water, the brush was up 4 feet. So we were fishing that top half of the water column, and you're reeling it in like a crankbait, and they were hitting it so hard that, like you said, it was all the way down to where it was just before it went.
So your fish were coming up out of the weeds. Me and Mitch, our weeds were growing to the tops of the surface, so we couldn't do that. Right. We fished the bottoms of them.
So you were down.
That's why we were just dragging it through. Yeah. And once it would start to get hung up on a piece of cabbage, you just raise it up real slow, and you could feel it with that fire line. It's so sensitive. Mm-hmm. It would go up the thing, and then you would feel it come off.
Right.
You know, you're working.
Well, and see, we had that mixture of both. We had the cabbage growing up through the brush. Yeah. So you would fish above the brush but through the cabbage, so you could feel it getting caught and then breaking free and getting caught and breaking free. And a lot of times when it broke free, boom, you're on.
Yep.
Yeah. Awesome. I guess the one last thing I wanted to put in is it's a fun way to fish pitching.
It sure
and
is.
The kind of the cool thing is kind of what Brad said earlier, you know, some baits you can barely feel them, just tick.
Yeah,
all the way to just smashing it, you know, so and everywhere in between. And then on top of that, Brad was really good at it. He'd see a lot of fish hit the jig when there was slack in the line, and he'd see his line move, and he'd go ahead and set the hook. So the point is, it's just a fun way to fish, and it can be everywhere from you don't feel a thing to a slight tick to just smashing it.
Right.
And then you've got to be on it. It's a fun way to get them too.
Yeah. Good stuff. Good stuff, guys. Hey, well, thanks for joining us on this episode for Pitching Shallow. We appreciate you following us on Facebook. Let your friends know. Share us. You can follow us on All Eyes on Fishing on Facebook. And then also we have an email too, alleyesonfishing@gmail.com. The reason why I'm giving you that, if you get some trophy pictures, some trophy fish, we want to see them. Email them to us, and we'll put them on our website. So, anything else, guys?
Be sure to go and check out our blog. We'll have more articles coming out and more vlogs coming out on YouTube. And keep going from there.
Appreciate your support. Have a good night.
Thanks.